This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Sam. How are you?
Hey, Katie. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. What's new with you? What have you been up to in your spare time off the road this summer?
I have been hanging out with my new baby girl as much as possible, just staring at her, watching her grow little by little, because when I leave, I realize how much she is growing, and I'm missing a little bit of it, but when I'm home, I make sure not to miss any of it. So I've been really enjoying being around her and her mom, and just just experiencing the whole miracle of being a new dad.
It is such a miracle. Is it still like crazy for you looking at Lucy and thinking like, this is a part of me?
Yeah, it's unreal. I've never really, I don't know, with babies, they've always been in my peripheral. People have babies. It's not something that I've connected to. I appreciate babies and young children, but my own life has kind of taken precedent, and I've had my own thing going. But now I, like, anytime I see a child at an airport or a baby at a restaurant, I'm just like enamored by it. And I can see, it's like I was telling somebody earlier, like the scales are falling from my eyes. Like the miracle is all around me now. And I'm realizing that I didn't see it before, but now having a child, like my eyes are open to it. And it's really unreal. It's an experience that I've always wanted to have, being a father, but now that I've had it, it's definitely a life-changing deal and a bucket list deal. Like I'm so glad that I waited a little while, but I'm glad that I became a father. I'm looking forward to having hopefully some more.
Love that. And how is little Lucy doing? And how do you feel like you've been adjusting to life as a new dad?
Yeah, she's doing fantastic. She's eating and sleeping and growing fast. It has given me a whole new sense of purpose at home and out on the road. Just a new appreciation for life in general. I think I leveled up like overnight, like evolved, 10 or 20 years overnight. I felt like, I've had those experiences in my life where I felt like I leveled up, in a short period of time, and they happen. It comes along every so often, but this has been a big one for me. And I'll look back and really, consider this a big moment in my life, obviously, but it's been great. I've been loving every second of it, and like I said, I waited until having my first one, but I'm trying to have as many as I can now before we age out.
What would you say has been like the hardest and the easiest parts for you about becoming a dad?
I didn't realize, I booked my tour or the shows that were playing back before I knew I was going to be having a kid, and I was really excited to be working this summer. Obviously, with the pandemic, we missed out on 2 years of touring, and I wanted to get in and play anywhere and everywhere. Now, after having a kid, I am as excited about playing these shows, and I'm having the time of my life. But you miss out on 2 or 3 days at a time, and when you can see the little changes when you come home, as far as her growing up, It's a little bit sad just for a split second, but then I just go back to appreciating being on the road, working again, and the time that I am home, I do have free to spend as much of it with her as I'd like. So It's the best of both worlds right now. And it's, you know, I'll be home in the fall as well quite a bit.
Yeah, which will be so nice. And then the name, Lucy, where did you guys come up with this? Was that a family name or what was the inspiration for it?
Yeah, Lucy, her middle name's Louise. And Hannah was calling her Lucy early on. We've sort of, and I think I kind of had something to do with this. I liked Lou better, Louise, and I wanted to call her Lou. So we've been calling her Lou, and I think that may stick. So I think we'll end up calling her Lou. As long as she's okay with it as she gets older. That was a family name on both sides of our family, Louise and Lucy. So that worked out. She shot down all my names for a long time, and I finally threw in the towel and was like, whatever you – Louise was my contribution. I like the – not to knock Louise, but I like the quote-unquote old lady names. I didn't want her to have a hot girl name.
A hot girl name. That's incredible. I feel like a lot of dads can relate to that. Well, let's talk about music. So your latest single, Water Under the Bridge, is somewhat like autobiographical to you, and it's about a special place that you used to spend time growing up. Talk about the inspiration to write this song and the story behind it.
Yeah, that was this record and the songs that I have been writing, especially since the pandemic, they're all sort of from the place of a guy who's gone out into the world, experienced the world, seen a lot of things, learned a lot of life lessons, but has come full circle and made it back home and is really appreciating where he's from and the parts of where he's from that have made him who he is. And, you know, that's not a big stretch. That's really a big part of my, I guess, journey. I'm like, you know, maybe how many years now? I can't even count since I left home, going to college, and then, of course, moved to Nashville, got into music, and started touring. So it's just a little chapter. It's one song from a batch of songs that I wrote about going home, and it's one of the more fun songs. It's not as necessarily nostalgic in the sad sense. You know, nostalgia kind of has a happy sad. This leans more towards the happy than the sad. Just recalling the fun and the good times and also, you know, when you live in that small world in a small town, how unimportant a lot of the drama is that you may get caught up in when you're that age, when you're 17, 18 years old.
Definitely. We can all relate to that. And then talk about in the music video, the place that you guys actually shot this and went and did it, because I think that's a special place to you. So talk about shooting the video there.
Yeah. Or the hangout, fishing hole. I like to catch smallmouth bass and fly fish. And Middle Tennessee has some really good smallmouth water. And that's, that's a cool little place that I found several years ago. And I have a canoe that I'll strap onto the top of the Jeep or the truck and take over there and float that little stretch and sometimes catch fish, sometimes not. But it's so pretty over there, it's worth making the trip in the summer or early fall. And I like to use, you know, even when I'm writing songs, I like to be in a place that has some meaning to me or any kind of imagery we use, whether it be cover art for a single or, trying to think of what else. You know, I just like it to have some sort of connection and be involve people that I know and or places that I've been and really connect to. And both of those worked out for this video. Everybody in the video, they were friends of mine, people who I just called or sent a text to. And it was an eclectic group, but everybody got along well and we had a good time. It just makes me feel more comfortable, and something comes out of that typically that gives everything a little more sense of meaning, even if you can't put your finger on what that is. You still feel it.
Yeah, there's something very like authentic about that. And then I wanted to ask you about, because one of the things that's gotten a lot of press from the video is the t-shirt that you were wearing for Save the Turtles. Was this like an intentional thing that you did? Like you were trying to draw awareness to this?
Yeah. No, I went out, not necessarily. I didn't necessarily put that shirt on with that specific cause in mind, but when I found that shirt in a little shop, I thought it was really cool. I definitely have a heart for nature and the preservation of nature and all wildlife. And I know turtles have had a problem over the years, especially, you know, they come up and they lay their eggs on beaches that people like to frequent, and we all think it's, you know, fun to go down and get an up close look and pick up the little baby turtles sometimes even, but It's such a fragile little ecosystem, and I didn't necessarily have a connection to that specific place, but I just thought it was a cool t-shirt and a meaningful cause that, you know, if I was going to throw on an old t-shirt, it might as well be that one.
I love that. And it's gotten like tons of great press for them.
Yeah. Well, there are some people who are very passionate about sea turtles, and rightly so. And I think they do great work. And I hope that that the turtles and that magical thing that they do when they come up and plant and have their eggs and cover them up, and the little babies know which way to go. You know, most of them anyway, they go back to the ocean, and then not all of them survive, but some of them do. It's a beautiful thing. So hopefully we can preserve that for as long as possible.
For sure. And it really is such a wonderful organization. Now, with this next single, this is kind of like our next look at the next record. So I'm curious, why did you want it to be the next single after 23?
Yeah. The batch of songs that I was choosing from, they all fell into a place that was very similar to 23. Like, it was that same mood, not necessarily over and over again, but all the songs, they lived in that emotional realm, I guess. And this song stood out as a song that suited summer better, suited a tour. We have a lot of songs in our set that are mid-tempo that feel like 23, and I wanted to put out a song that had a little more pep to it. So that was really the extent of that, you know, decision making.
You mentioned your third studio record that you're working on. Can you tell us, like, at what part of the process with that record you're at? Like, are you still writing? Are you recording? Or where are you?
Yeah, I'm recording right now. So we're touring on the weekends for the most part. Every weekend, we started back in June, and we're going through the end of September. But I've got some great guys helping me get the album recorded, and I'm coming home early in the week, and I've had to push a couple of days when I come home on Sunday and I'm just completely worn out, or I need to spend a little more time at the house, but with the family. But I am recording. I have the songs sitting there. A couple of them are missing a line or two that I just need to get that get the lyric ironed out. But I've already recorded five or six. I just got to sing them. Sometimes I sing too hard on the weekends and come home and I'm a little hoarse. So there are obstacles to trying to get it all done in one big swoop, but it's coming together. And so, yeah, I'm in the recording phase right now, just trying to get them all buttoned up.
Which is super exciting. And this being your third studio record, how do you feel like your writing process has changed since you first moved to Nashville, or has it kind of remained the same?
Yeah, so when I first moved to town, I typically wrote 3 or 4 days, well, 4 or 5 days a week, 10 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon, and wrote with a lot of new folks. Like, at least once a week, I'd be writing with somebody I'd never met, sometimes twice a week. I've really, as I've gotten older and gotten busier, I've tried to not necessarily cast as big a net and try to aim for specific ideas that I know will work. And so I don't write nearly as many songs, but I know who I write well with, and I can block off time. Like, you know, we can do little retreats like 3 or 4 days at a time. And for the most part, the last two records have come from, instead of, you know, 150 or 200 days a year, they've come from like 12, 14 days a year, where we specifically set out to write specific ideas on certain days and with certain people. And that has been a little more efficient. It's opened up a little more time for me to tour, to record and spend time with family. And just, it creates a little more balance in my life.
Which is so important to have. And then with the next record, have you decided on any like concept or theme, or like, what does this next chapter of music sound like for you?
Yeah. Yeah. The songs have come together for the most part. And the theme that really came together pretty early on was, it's like, I mean, I don't know, best way to put it, maybe coming home. You know, it's the story of young guy who answers the call of adventure, you know, when he's old enough to leave the house and goes out into the big wide world, and you know, has a lot of experiences, learns a lot of lessons, but really over time starts to appreciate where he's from and the parts of where he's from that make, you know, him, who he is. I really, and I say he because it's sort of writing from a character's perspective, but I really relate to it as well. And that's where my journey, you know, lines up right now. I'm really appreciating home and my folks and all the little parts of, you know, where I grew up that have really influenced my life and who I've become. So coming home, I think, is the essential theme. And that's an age-old theme. You know, it's in so many stories, so many movies, so many ancient stories. It's the, you know, the you grow up, you love where you're from, you leave, you come home, and then you share what you've learned with the younger folks, you know, when you come back.
It's so funny how everyone, you know, you try so hard to get away, and then you can't wait to come back.
Yeah, yeah. You think all the answers are out there, and all the, you know, the things that are going to really fulfill you and make you happy. Yeah, they're in your head and heart, and they were there all along where you grew up.
Yeah. So a theme of growing up. Are there any songs on here about Lucy at all?
I did. I wrote her a little song one night back several months ago, but I don't think it's a song that I'll put out. It was just a little song I could sing to her when she was still growing in the womb, and it means a lot to me, but I don't think it's a song that I'll put on a record.
A little Lucy lullaby. That's so precious. And then I really wanted to ask you, I got to see you perform earlier this year at Odyssey's Totally Private back in January, and you did an unreleased song called Walmart, which has been stuck in my head since the night you performed it. And I have to know, is that going to make it on the next record?
Yeah, I'm actually going to work on that song tomorrow afternoon. Trying to dial it in. We're already getting it going. I just need to go sing on it and make some decisions on, you know, what the drums should sound like and how much piano or how much guitar, all those sorts of things that you have to overthink when you get in the studio. But yeah, absolutely. I want to get that song out. It falls right in line with that theme we just talked about, you know, coming home and growing up and realizing that, you know, at a certain point, you have to let old relationships go. And so that song, you know, it'll fit nicely into that coming home thing.
I love that so much, and I'm selfishly just so excited. Sam Hunt, thank you so much for the time this week. We so appreciated it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.